Oh, thank you so much, Wes. That was beautiful. Thank you very, very much. Don Becker, appreciate that. Well, with all the political hoopla, and I've not made any comment, nor will I, except John Hintz and I talked today, and all this stuff about lipstick on a pig. Nobody's defending the pig. Everybody's defending this person and that person and the Democrats and the Republicans, but nobody is taking the calls of the pig wearing lipstick. Pigs don't wear lipstick. And John Hintz and I are greatly offended by all of the hoopla about lipstick on pigs. And poor Wilbur, that's John and Judy's pig is Wilbur. And poor Wilbur got so upset. And oh man, he's upset. He just said, "Don't put no lipstick on me." And Wilbur started out as one of those what do you call them? Potbelly, little potbelly pig, and now he's a big old ham steak pig. And fact that Y2K, we kept telling Judy, "Well, we always got something to eat. We can eat that pig." the new year. "You're not eating Wilbur." "You're not eating, huh?"
Wilbur's pretty old.
He's getting up there. He is. I don't know how old pigs live.
How did they get him to the vet?
I don't even know if they've ever had to take him to a vet. Pigs just eat and live.
Well, like Wester, he's an aged ham, you know?
Yeah. And he gets out every now and then, and I remember one time I was there, we had to go hunting all over the neighborhood for Wilbur. And see, the danger thing about it is, if he stays out too long, the heat will kill him. Because they got to have their bodies in water and heated and cooled. And he was just out running around the neighborhood. And they found him in the shade. But it was so funny. We were both took different directions, and I'd ask everybody, "Have you seen a black pig?" And it's so funny. Somebody said, "A what? A black pig? No, I'm not." And somebody said, "Is that what that was?" "Yeah, he was down there about a block and a half." And I thought he was what comes down out of the mountains? Javelina. So I thought that was a javelina. I said, "No, that's Wilbur." "That's old Wilbur. Don't think he's a javelina." Poor old Wilbur. And there was a jogger that said all this. And then finally we found him up in the shades. And John went up in there and said, "Wilbur, I know you're in there." And he goes, "Come on out of there, Wilbur." He came out and followed John home because he knew he was getting heated. Well, he was in trouble, but he was also, he needed to be home where there was some water to lay down in. And, do what?
Get something to eat.
Yeah, get something to eat. And, that's funny. Yeah. So be careful about lipstick on a pig, poor Wilbur. All right. Okay, let's talk about prayer. Boy, the whole front row is empty tonight over here on the right. And on the left, well, no, over here it's just packed out. Man, in fact, we are heavy on the left side tonight and on the right. Need to continue being in prayer for Tish. Need to be in prayer. What's your friend's name, Pat?
Pat.
Had cancer.
And Harold.
And Harold, okay. And it's so good to see Eve here tonight.
Yes.
And we'll continue to be in prayer that you'll continue to heal and feel better. And so that's good. And we'll be in prayer for Alicia as she goes into her first year of kind of recovered through a lot of her troubles and things. So that's good. And let's
Nathan?
See. Huh?
Nathan,
be in prayer for Nathan. And as he's a strep throat and he's in hell week. So that's tough. And, okay, need to be in prayer. Yes.
My son.
Your son.
My son, Sean, who he's got some disc and they're going to have to fuse.
They're going to have to do what, hun?
Some discs in his neck.
Oh, wow, okay.
Between them.
All right. Wow, when are they going to do this?
We don't know yet. We're trying to.
All the things set now, yeah, okay. All right, well, we'll be in prayer. And what's his first name?
John.
Okay. John. You just want to say John. It's easy if you remember everything. Just John, John,
no,
John.
No, John's son.
Yeah.
John.
Yeah.
And
huh?
John Paul.
John C.
Just say John. Somebody's going to answer. all right, we'll be in prayer for John.
That's
absolutely. Yeah, that is serious. So we'll be in prayer. And let's see, I need to continue to be in prayer for Nancy Becker, and she continues to heal from her fractured hip. And need to be in prayer for Vic Edwards.
Talk to him today. He has a new issue, but no details.
Okay. I need to be in prayer for George. For Vic. So, okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And get into a really fun study. I'm really enjoying the journey that we're on right now in our study. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to come here tonight. We thank you for the freedom we enjoy in this country. And Father, we pray for these people we've mentioned in prayer. George Edwards and John and just all the Eve, Tish, Nancy, and Father Alicia, and we just pray that you'll act in each of their lives according to your plan for them. Father, we pray for a number of people that may be affected by the hurricane storm coming in, and your will be done in so many different lives. Maybe bring some to a gospel understanding, Father. But now, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that we have before us in the second sanding of your Spirit. Pray that your Spirit will guide us through these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we finished last week in looking at the designation another helper, another comforter, another counselor, another deliverer. I'd like to just stay with the Greek word made an English word, and that's parakletos, because it just engulfs all of these and all of the concepts that are surrounded in this. But now, having the designation, let's note two problems with the second sanding. For the second sanding. Problem number one. The first need of a helper, a deliverer. The first need. And so, point one, man alienated from God. Unrighteous, impure, unclean. Questions of Job. How can a man be righteous before his maker? The issue in judgments in Romans 1 and all through Scripture. So, this is man's dilemma. Is that God is righteous, man is unrighteous. God is alive, man is spiritually dead. So this is the problem of man. And then point two, man is under the penalty of sin. Under the penalty of sin. Nothing we can do about it. Nothing we can do about our unrighteousness. Because whatever unrighteousness does is going to be unrighteous. Even if it's nice as opposed to bad, it's still unrighteous. And then we have the penalty of sin, which has to be taken care of. And then point three, man is under total depravity. Nothing he can do about that condition of total depravity. And we have noted the five conditions of the sin nature. And man's just under, he's continually being corrupted and insane and all of those things that we studied under those natures. Man cannot change his condition. He cannot remove the penalty of sin. He cannot do anything about his unrighteousness. He's alienated from God. Therefore, point four, man is in a helpless, hopeless condition. There's just nothing he can do about it. Therefore, point five, Jesus Christ calls himself our helper, our parakletos, in a helpless condition. in being reconciled with God the Father. There was nothing that man could do to deliver himself from the penalty of sin, total depravity. Nothing he can do to redeem himself before God. And so Jesus Christ came to deliver man as the first deliverer. Point six. By Jesus Christ coming in the form of man, removing the guilt penalty of sin on the cross. His first advent, he established the way the man can be perfectly righteous, that man can be reconciled with God. He removed the penalty of sin. So the first helper, the first deliverer, Jesus Christ, answered those conditions that man was in. By the first advent, the incarnation, different words for it, and the cross work of Christ. Not his life, but the cross work of Christ. Therefore, point seven. This is why Jesus Christ is the only way to God the Father. We receive his work by simple faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. It's amazing if you can talk to people that go to church and in a momentum. When I went to my niece's wedding a couple weeks ago, I had an opportunity the night before to talk to a lady that goes to Bible studies and all these things, and her male friend wanted me to talk to her, and I did. And I just started out. I said, now, how did you become a Christian? And bless her heart, she just sat there and looked at me. And she just sat there and looked. And we're talking to a lady about, well, I imagine she's 45, 55, somewhere in there. And she went, well, that's an interesting question. And she said, well, I know about Jesus and his work on the cross, and I just sat there and listened. And I said, okay, did the knowing of Jesus Christ save you? Well, no. She didn't even say I invited him into my heart. I never thought about it. And where I want to get, of course, is the filling of the Spirit, the Spirit-filled life, and move on. See where she is spiritually, doctrinally, and all this. And all, I mean, we hadn't even got out of block one. And so I said, well, what does the Bible, what word does the Bible use? And she looked at me, and I don't know. What do you mean? And I said, well, what does John 3:16 ask us to do? And so you could say, okay, God so loved the world, believe in the name of John. I said, believe in him. She goes, yeah. I said, faith in Jesus Christ. She said, yeah, I did that. And I said, I know, but you weren't clear on it, were you? And she said, I guess I wasn't. And so when I took her to faith in the Spirit, it was so easy for her. She had zero problem from faith in how God sent his Son, faith in him, God sent his Spirit, faith in him, and when we sin, restored by faith, she had no problem. It was so wonderful to watch that. So I was kind of glad that she wasn't cluttered with a lot of stuff, because she just readily accepted it, and she's listening to Galatians now, and so just we'll be in prayer for her. But so Jesus Christ came as our first helper, provided the only way to God the Father, and we receive what he did. We receive his help, his deliverance, his reconciliation by faith in Jesus Christ, setting the pattern for the second helper that will come. And finally, point eight, with his work completed, Jesus Christ now departs. He leaves planet Earth. his task for the first advent, first incarnation, is completed. So he leaves the earth, leaving behind those who believe in him. This sets up problem two. Second condition sets up a need for another helper, another parakletos. Point one, all who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior are delivered from the penalty of sin, delivered from the law, delivered from Satan. They are delivered into eternal life. They are delivered into the perfect righteousness of God. They're delivered out from the penalty of sin, out from the law, out from the power of Satan, but they're delivered into the righteousness of God, into eternal life. Aha! But point two. But as long as they live on earth, we are physically alive here on earth, and therefore we come under the power of sin. And we cannot deliver ourselves from the power of sin by anything that we do, not by confession, not by repentance, not by feeling sorry, not by promising God we'll never do it again, not by sitting in a corner. Cannot do it under anything that we do. Point three, we are under the power of our flesh nature when we sin. We're under the power of our flesh nature. And there's no way we can come out from under the power of our flesh nature by anything that we do. We don't want to. And the flesh nature doesn't want to give us up. All that we can do is live under the power and the influence of our flesh nature. Even though we may, I understand about God, I want to be with God, I want to love God, I want to love Jesus Christ. And so many people are so impressed with their flesh love of Christ. But it's still flesh love. It comes from the flesh. Point four. Since there is nothing that we can do, Jesus Christ sent us another Parakletos, another deliverer, another just like himself, deity. Just as he delivered us in salvation one, he sent us another one just like himself to deliver us in what we've come to classify as salvation two, which occurs over and over and over in a day in our lives. Point five, another deliverer to deliver us from, this time, the power of sin. The first Parakletos delivered us from the penalty of sin. The second Parakletos delivers us from the power of sin. Delivered us from the power of the flesh. Delivered us from the power of Satan as long as we live here on earth. Delivered us from the power of the world. Point six. Jesus Christ sent us another deliverer to deliver us into the light. Deliver us into a righteous state that we are. He put us into a permanent state of righteousness in our experiential life on earth. He delivers us into a state of righteousness. Deliver us into divine power. Deliver us into his love. Into life. And point seven, just as we trusted in the first deliverer, so we trust in the second deliverer to deliver us in his work. The deliverance by the first Parakletos set the pattern for deliverance by the second Parakletos. Manner is faith. faith in the one who delivers. Faith in Jesus Christ to deliver, faith in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ delivers out from, into eternal life. Faith in the Holy Spirit delivers us out from the power of sin into His power, into the power of God, into light and life. So this is why we needed a second deliverer. Jesus Christ is gone. So we have two deliverers, two comforters, two helpers, two counselors. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We call the deliverance of Jesus Christ, salvation 1. The deliverance of the Holy Spirit, salvation 2. Now, most Christians, as opposed to every single one, know what Jesus Christ did as our first Parakletos. I say most know. They all should know, because if they're saved. But I think there are people that somehow just stumble across the goal line. They believed in Christ, but it was a shaky deal, and they should know that. But we'll just say most Christians know what Jesus Christ did as our first Parakletos. But you know what? When it comes to the second Parakletos, very, very few know what the Holy Spirit is, who He is, what He does, how He does it. Very few know. They talk about the Holy Spirit in esoteric theological terms. They pay tribute to Him where it's clear in the Bible, like He's being deity. Some know about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Not sure how they get it. Not really clear on how all that works. Some make Him an author of the rambling of tongues, the tongues movement. Many really just right out reject any spiritual movement by the Holy Spirit because they're afraid of charismatic experiences. They're afraid of mysticism and all of this type of thing. Dan Hill was telling me about a friend that we used to know a long time ago, and he's that's quite a missionary work. But no. What do you mean you're led by the Holy Spirit? You're led by doctrine, you know. And just really try to put Dan down and this type of thing. Many reject Him, as many rejected the first Parakletos. Most people are like those believers in Acts 19. Look with me at Acts 19. Acts 19. Acts 19, verse 1 and 2. Acts 19, 1, and it came about that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And that's the way a lot of Christians are today. They may have heard of Him, but they're not really sure about what He is, who He is, and how He functions and how He works. And you know, that's a shame. I'll tell you why that's a shame. Because Jesus Christ taught about the Holy Spirit throughout His ministry. He taught about how the Holy Spirit was going to come. He did this over and over. And yet few in the first century even knew of the Holy Spirit. And even fewer today, I'm afraid, know about Him. There's just so much to know about the second helper, and we certainly don't have we have the time, but we're not going to go through everything, but just highlight a few things as we talk about the second Parakletos. First of all, he said, another Parakletos, another like me, deity. Let's look at the deity of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. And by the way, there are people that don't even believe that. Okay, point one, that He is deity God, equal with the Father, equal with the Holy Spirit. Or excuse me, with the Son, equal with God the Son. He is God. Point two, that He is deity is evident by having divine attributes. Let me give you some of those that are stately recorded. Eternity, Hebrews 9:14. Omniscience, 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. The Gospel of John 14:26. Omnipotence, Luke 1:35. 3, works of deity are ascribed to Him. Works of deity are ascribed to Him. Creation, Psalm 104:30. Job 33:4. Regeneration, John 3:5. Inspiration of Scripture, 2 Peter 1:21. Raising the dead, Romans 8:11. He is associated with the other two members of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Ooh. Matthew 28:19. 2 Corinthians 13:14. 1 Corinthians 12:4-6. He is referred to as God, Acts 5:3-4. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Anybody need a repeat on any of those? Okay. Okay, major point four under that He is God. The Holy Spirit is deity, God, which means that the Holy Spirit is not just some power. He's just not some power that we need to get a hold of. And that's a very popular concept. Let's get a hold of that power. I forgot some old time preacher like Ironside or some of them said, it isn't a matter of us getting more of the Holy Spirit, it's us letting the Holy Spirit have more of us. And why is it so popular of getting more of that power? Because this kind of thinking emphasizes self again. I get it. It exalts self and what I do. But the Holy Spirit is a personal God with whom we have fellowship by faith. 5, to grasp the concept that a member of the Godhead indwells us is of great importance in living the Christian life. To grasp the concept that a member of the Godhead indwells me, and by faith in Him, God acts in my life. People, this is a foundational, fundamental, powerful point. And when we talk about divine guidance, each of you have to make up your own mind. Do I believe that God is in me and can guide me from within, or that God needs doctrine, or God needs circumstances, that God needs all of this, or can God, and this is, that's, every one of you have to decide for yourself, but can God supernaturally guide me? And you have to decide. I believe He can. I believe He does. He's God. He's inside. And the way Lewis Berry Chafer heard it, that the Holy Spirit always whispers loud enough for those who are listening to hear. And He guides us. So to grasp the concept that he's a member of the Godhead indwells you, and that by faith in him, God acts inside of our lives, pours his love, his joy, his peace, and so on in me, uses me. It's an humbling, humbling fact. It's an humbling understanding. And most people don't like that humbling position. That's why they want to have, like, I got to learn doctrine, or I got to do this, I got to have my part. No, I got to trust the Holy Spirit to lead me. Therefore, they come up with all kinds of substitutes and completely depending on, rather than completely depending on the Holy Spirit by faith. And they got other things that you have to do, which is why many refuse just to believe in Jesus Christ by faith alone as Savior, because they want to be a part of the deal. That's why a lot of people just don't. No, it can't be just by faith in Jesus Christ. I got to join this church or walk an aisle or do something. And we want to have a part of it. Point six. Many reject our total dependency on the Holy Spirit because they desire to be a part of the spiritual dynamics. Many reject our total dependency on the Holy Spirit by faith because they desire to be a part of the spiritual dynamics. They love God. They love Jesus Christ. They learn Bible doctrine. They apply Bible doctrine. They don't really need the total dependency on the Holy Spirit by faith for that. Okay. Two parakletos in our present life. Every believer in the church age has two deliverers, two helpers, two comforters throughout our whole life, and I'm going to deal with that. One is in heaven, Jesus Christ. He's still our parakletos. We'll see that. And one on earth, the Holy Spirit. Don't want you to get the idea that Jesus Christ provided salvation, took off to heaven, and is just sitting there. And he departed. He still has a great deal to do about us. Jesus Christ is still our parakletos in heaven. Point one. Jesus Christ is our advocate. He is your defense attorney. Look at 1 John 2. Let's look at some of these. It's a Bible church, so let's look at some of them. 1 John 2. Jesus Christ is still our parakletos. We have another. We have two parakletos. They're both God. They're both deity. Jesus Christ is our parakletos. He is our advocate. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So, he is our advocate. He's our defense attorney. Why do we need one? Because Satan is constantly going day and night, Revelation 12, Satan is constantly day and night going to heaven, to the court, and accusing, slandering, judging believers day and night. We need a defense attorney. Jesus Christ is our defense attorney. And his defense is not that we're innocent. I always like to say, like Matlock always proves, this guy really didn't do it, and he shows you who did do it. And that's not his defense, because we did do it. Satan knows that the angels can see if we sin, so he's not going through and say we did something we didn't do. So when he accuses, we did it. Jesus Christ's defense is paid for it. Paid for it. And boy, that tears Satan up. Case closed. Point two. Jesus Christ makes intercession for us. He's our parakletos. He makes intercession for us. Let's look at Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7. You're right near it in 1 John. Just go past Peter. Go to Hebrews 7. Verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Boy, Hebrews is a book that, I don't know, I don't know if I can add another night, but we need a night just to sit and read the Bible together, read some of these things. Okay, 7:25. Hence, also, He is able to save or deliver forever those who draw near to God through Him. He's our Parakletos to God, since He always lives to make intercession for them. That is, for those who believe in Jesus Christ. Point three. Jesus Christ is the authority of our prayers. We pray in His name. We pray in His name. We saw that in John 14. John 14, 13. Let me read it for you. And whatever you ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Four, Jesus Christ is preparing our eternal dwelling place. John 14, 2. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. So He's preparing a place for us, every born-again believer. That gives us a little clue of an aspect of heaven. I have no idea what it's like, but I know that we're going to have a dwelling place. I don't know if we'll have fences around it. I don't know if we'll have swimming pools in the backyard, or it'll have a yard or not. I don't know if it's condos or what. But there'll be a dwelling place befitting. And so Jesus Christ is our Parakletos even now. The Holy Spirit is our Parakletos on earth during our life as believers. Now, we know that He delivers us from the power of sin. But I don't want your mind thinking of the Holy Spirit just in that respect and nothing more. He's our Parakletos to live the Spirit-filled life, the Christ-centered life, the Christian way of life, whatever you want to call it. Not going to quibble about that. The Holy Spirit is our Parakletos to live moment by moment. Point one, the Holy Spirit is our Parakletos in giving us power to live a spiritual life. And since we haven't seen these verses and don't know when we'll get into some of these passages, let's look at Ephesians 3, just so you'll be cognizant of them. And those of you listening by tape or internet or disc or something, I encourage you to look these up in the Bible. Become familiar with the Bible. Ephesians 3:16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. So, He gives us the power to live a spiritual life. Point two, the Holy Spirit is our help, our Parakletos in life and in prayer. In life and in prayer. Since we're at Ephesians, let's look at Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. All the saints. If you hate somebody, you're not going to be in prayer for them. If you're going to be in prayer for them, you're not going to hate them. You've got to be careful what you pray. Don't pray that they stumble and fall. But it's not prayer. But the Holy Spirit is our help in prayer. But let's look at Romans 8:26. Romans 8 is the great chapter, one of the great chapters in the Bible on the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26. And in the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps. There's our helps, our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So the Holy Spirit prays for us. Jesus Christ prays for us. And so we have the work of the Holy Spirit in our prayer life. Point. Holy Spirit is our Parakletos in delivering from the power of sin. Delivering from the power of sin. Romans 7, since we're right here. Romans 7:23 or 7:24. Romans 7:24, wretched man that I am. Now this is as a believer, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? And then in the all of chapter 8 is the Holy Spirit. 4, the Holy Spirit is our parakletos in giving us life, spiritual life. John, the Gospel of John 6:63. This is beautiful. Let's look at John 6:63. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. Now, Jesus Christ said to give life. He's our first helper. Holy Spirit said to give life. Our second parakletos. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. So the Holy Spirit gives life. Look at chapter 7. John 7, 38 and 39. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Wow, boy, we could really get off on what that means. So fortunately, he tells us. But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, day of Pentecost. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. He's not departed, been glorified at the right seat of God the Father. Let's look at Romans 8. We're dealing with how the Spirit gives life. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Look at verse 6. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Look at verse 11. It's all through here. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and actually you should translate that if is since the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So the life, we're dead in sin, He gives us life. Look at verse 13. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. And also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So people, there's no way you and I can live without the parakletos of the Holy Spirit. He gives us our spiritual life, makes us alive spiritually. 5, He is our parakletos in teaching us all spiritual truth. This is very important. All spiritual truth. Let's go back to Jesus Christ and the Gospel of John 14. John 14. We haven't come to this verse yet, but we will. Verse 26. But the parakletos, the helper, and again, I'd have no problem with helper as long as you realize that means total help. You don't add anything to it. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So he teaches us all spiritual truths. Let's look at chapter 16. Chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative. Jesus Christ said he didn't speak on his own initiative. The Holy Spirit won't speak on his initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. Take of mine, that's every believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And the picture there, how they take of mine, is the Good Samaritan. And he picked up the beaten man and he took him and put all on him and nourished him and got, brought him back to health. And then he turned him, took him to the innkeeper. And he told him to take care of him for 2 days and he would return to his the number of the church age period. So I will come back and you take care of him. So he turned us over to the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus Christ will come and take care of that. Let's see. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2. This is interesting. It's a powerful passage. The whole study of this section we could spend time on, but let's just read. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2, 10. And for to us, God revealed them through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Look at verse 13. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual with spiritual, taking the spiritual thoughts with our human spirit, combining the spiritual with the spiritual. So he does the teaching. Point six, the Holy Spirit is our parakletos, informing a righteous life. This is very important. How am I going to live a righteous life? Well, let me write down all the sins and just be sure I don't commit them. Nope. It's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our parakletos informing a righteous life. Okay, let's look at Galatians 5:5. Galatians 5:5. For we, believers, through the Spirit, and that phrase by faith goes, we dealt with this when we studied it, goes backwards and forwards. We're through the Spirit by faith, we're empowered by the Spirit by faith, and then by faith in the Holy Spirit, waiting for the confidence of righteousness. So we are imputed with divine righteousness at the point of salvation, but experientially, we come into a righteous life by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is a righteous life. Also, let's look at Romans 14:17. Romans 14:17. People, you're getting things that most Christians don't even know about the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So righteousness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Peace is a joy of the Holy Spirit. So these come to us by virtue of the Holy Spirit. 7. He is our parakletos over our flesh nature. He's our helper. He's the reason we can have power over our flesh nature, which we've had from birth. Okay, let's look for this at Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. He is our parakletos in power over our flesh nature. Chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, faith in the Holy Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit sets it against the flesh. So when you're in a spiritual battle, it's not because you ate some bad tacos. It's this battle, a spiritual battle going on. And the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Okay, so he's our power over our flesh nature. 8, the Holy Spirit is our parakletos in leading us moment by moment. He leads us. Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So we're led by the Holy Spirit. How does He lead us? We trust Him to lead us. We trust Him, and He leads us. 9, the Holy Spirit is our parakletos in pouring in His fruits. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy. Note the singular fruit is, and then we have 9 listed. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So He pours His fruit into us. And all of these are there. Specifically love, Colossians 1:8. We'll not turn there for the sake of time. Well, it's only a couple of pages over. Good grief. Colossians 1:8. Colossians 1:8. And He also informed us of your love in the Holy Spirit. Not in the flesh, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy is 1 Thessalonians 1:6. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 especially mentioned. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. 10. The Holy Spirit is our parakletos in giving us hope or confidence in life. Get depressed, get down. Tell us a sign we're not in the power of the Spirit. Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. Not far from it. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So He gives us hope. He gives us confidence. Just so many things that the Holy Spirit does. 11, He is our parakletos as eternal security, the seal of eternal security. 1 Corinthians 1:22 and Ephesians 1:13. 1 Corinthians 1:22 and Ephesians 1:13. And finally, 12, the Holy Spirit is our helper, parakletos, in true worship. In true worship. Philippians 3:3. Let's look at Philippians 3:3. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. So all true worship is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this takes up two helpers, two parakletos. Jesus Christ is our parakletos now. The Holy Spirit is our parakletos now. So we have two helpers, two parakletos, two deliverers, two sustainers, two that intercede for us. So many different words that are encompassed in parakletos. That's why I like just turn it into an English word, a parakletos. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just stand amazed at your wonderful plan, the unbelievable genius of it, that you became man, and as man died on a cross and left, and now you come down and indwell us in the form of the Holy Spirit. To sustain us, seal us, so that we cannot lose our salvation. Power over the sin nature, power over flesh, love, joy, peace, the fruit. And it's so easy. It's by faith. It's so simple. Not always easy, but so simple. Just by faith in your Spirit. So, Father, we praise you for these two Parakletos who sustain us. We praise you in Christ's name and in the power of the Spirit. Amen.